So welcome to Northeast Ohio Parent Talk, the video podcast. I'm your host, Angela Gartner. Today, we are here with Tasha Wilburn, local mom, advocate, and author of the book, Rain Climbs Up. We will be discussing this empowering book that celebrates courage and the power of doing things differently and raising awareness for families with children who have disabilities. Hey, Tasha, thank you so much for joining us today. I wanted to ask you a couple questions first about the inspiration for the book. So this book was about your youngest daughter, Rain. And tell us a little bit more about Rain.
Well, first, thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. And Rain is my youngest daughter, youngest of three children. And it's hard to describe her. So resilient. I just say resilient and just strong and just really just pushing through being at the condition she's had. So she was born with a brachial plexus injury called Erb's palsy. So it causes paralysis of the limbs. Specifically is her right arm. So her right arm was paralyzed at birth. She had like less than 10% sensation in her right arm. So we had to navigate life with this results of just having this paralyzed arm and also navigate how we can improve it. There was ways to improve it and what we can do. So she's had to face multiple surgeries, multiple procedures, and therapy. She's in therapy 2 to 3 times a week. But where the inspiration for Rain Climbs Up, my children's book, where that came from was my older children. So with Rain going through 2 intensive surgeries and all these therapies, she had a half body cast for, I want to say, like 6 months. Then she had to wear a brace for like another 3 months. And still trying to play with them and just navigate the world with them and just be a typical kid, she faced challenges. So even once she got the cast removed and the brace removed and they were playing on the playground or playing on jungle gyms or just playing, trying to ride scooters and ride bikes, I noticed they kept referencing her arm as her broke arm. Oh, that's her broke arm. I have to help her because it's a broke arm. And I'm like, did I actually have this conversation with them to let them know kind of what's going on? So once I explained it to them, I noticed them trying to explain it to other children. And it was just a little bit of a struggle because they was always referencing it as a negative thing. Like it was weak. It was broken. She just handicapped. She can't do things as well, but she can. She just needed a little more assistance. So the idea sparked from my oldest daughter. And she was like, is there a way we can like show something to kind of, teach other children about what's going on and what her story is? And I'm like, oh, story, children's story, children book. So, and that's how that came about.
Well, tell me about the illustrations and how actually this story came about.
Inspired just by our everyday life. Whenever we're going out and I'm taking my children out every day, just playing, that's where the inspiration come from. But actually getting it from idea to a book. So my background I've always been an entrepreneur. Always had that entrepreneurial spirit. So it doesn't take much for me to get an idea and turn it into action. So I just immediately started writing up the story. I was, working with my children, we were coming up with different ideas. I took it from real life events when I saw her struggling on a playground to climb up ladders, climb up the little firefighter pole things and climbing up the little domes and how they would help her and we'll each week or every day and every, she would get better and better and better and better and just that progress. And I've always liked affirmations. That's always been big with me in my career, just in life, personal, academic, all of that. Affirmations always been a big thing for me. So I always, make sure I'm intentional about that with my children, giving them affirmations, letting them know they can do it and just speaking more positively about doing things. So once we had this story written out, even my daughter did like a little draft with paper and clipped it together with staplers. And so she actually made the first draft and like highlighters and she colored. And then I reached out to a couple of my colleagues to my network about finding an illustrator, got an illustrator, and we started working on it. It took a while. I mean, it took like 6 to 9 months because, you know, you have to do page by page and proof and go back and reorder things. So it was definitely a hard project and just trying to capture her disability just to kind of show it in imagery of the illustrations. But also I wanted to still be a story of triumph and still have those affirmations in there as well. So that's kind of what, yeah, when it comes to just ideas and execution with me, that's just, it's in my nature. So, but yeah, it did take some time that.
So, I mean, this is the book. So tell us what you want readers to get out of when they're reading your book.
What I want readers to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So I want readers to, well, parents and children, I want parents to feel encouraged and motivated because, you know, whether children have a handicap or not, no child is the same. Like, no child is the same. No, even siblings aren't the same. Everyone struggles with something. You know, they're running faster than me, or, you know, they answer quicker than me, or different things like that. So just overcoming those challenges. I want parents to feel encouraged to kind of push your children and motivate your children and kind of let them learn in their own way. Just because, you know, this kid is doing it this way, or even most of the kids are doing this way, doesn't mean that they can't do it a little differently as long as they achieve the same results. I want children to feel motivated and encouraged, again, whether they have a disability or not, to know they have that inner power or inner strength to be able to just persevere and, again, overcome those challenges. So parents, I think we tend to, like, want to kind of baby our children or, like, help mom. We hate to see them like struggling or doing just struggling and needing help, and we, you know, tend to see to just want to help them with everything, but they're going to grow up, they're going to need to be independent and self-sufficient adults. So just giving them that space to be able to grow and learn, and still just making sure they have the proper resources and tools to support that growth, but learning to be a little hands-off sometimes and letting them navigate those things. And then the book kind of helps, again, just guides that, encourage that, and affirms that, more importantly.
Well, and talking about resources, because this is something, you know, this happened, you know, after she was born. So can you tell a little bit about, you know, how you guys felt and what resources you used throughout this whole process?
Yes. So first, you know, just the resources of support, just family support, kind of navigating through what was going on. And then, so like spiritual praying and therapies, all that thing, just making sure I was mentally prepared. And then I reached out to the Cuyahoga Board of Developmentally. They were my first call because I had worked with them with my older two children. They both have their different areas that they need assistance in as well. So I was already familiar with them. So they were definitely my first call. And they tied me to, again, the finding the surgeons to do her surgery, finding an occupational therapist and a physical therapist to help with those services, and just so many things. Finding, like, they helped even help me find like medical coverage for her, because with my insurance, you run out of, with a lot of insurances, you get capped on how many visits you're allowed to have each year, you know, for the calendar year. And she was getting therapy 2 to 3 times a week. So those ran out pretty quickly. So finding like additional coverage, finding additional therapies, even getting like grants for extracurricular activities, things like swimming, gymnastics, those different things, just all those like play groups, all of those help with her recovery along with the therapies. And then she's able to be around other children her age too, and they helped me find funding for that. So they're very instrumental in getting me a lot of my resources and tools, aside for, again, praying, therapy, family support, and all of those things as well, because it's a lot, especially when you're seeing your baby in surgery. Like, one of her surgeries was 6 hours, the other one was 8 hours, to be able to kind of go through that and watch your baby under and having to all the difference you know, they have to cut tours, you know, all the scars and incisions and going under anesthesia. It's a lot. It's a lot to process. And before you even get to the recovery journey of it.
Well, I mean, what advice would you give parents who might be feeling overwhelmed with, you know, a lot of the resources along with dealing with their, you know, maybe child's diagnosis?
What advice would I get to other parents? So much. I'm trying to narrow it down in my head. First, it's going to be okay. They're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. When it comes to disabilities, that's all they know. We know that it's a disability. We know that it's a disadvantage, or our perception is like it's less than, you know, they don't have the same, you know, like they're not normal, whatever that means, but that's all they know. So they don't know that, you know, things are going to be more challenging. Their experience is the only experience that they know. So just kind of let them, you know, just reassurance that it's going to be okay and they're going to be okay. Ask for help. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all on your own. So making sure that you see what else is out there, see what assistance you can get. And prayer works. That's all I can say is it's going to be okay. Ask for help and prayer works. That's all. It kind of raised that up too.
Well, and also in your book, you talk about like rainbows. And at the end of the book, you actually have, you know, my rainbow power. So tell me a little, and then, in the book as well, tell me about the significance of rainbows, but then also, Rain has a special bracelet when she comes down the stairs. So tell me a little bit about the rainbow and also the bracelet and what's the significance of those in the book.
Why we chose rainbow. Well, if you ask Rain her favorite color, she'll say rainbow. She says her favorite color is rainbow. And then her name is Rain. So it was just kind of a spinoff from her name as well. And being that is her favorite color. And then I think also for the symbolism, I'm like, you know, kind of we could say like, you know, each color represents some type of strength or some type of power. It wasn't like, I don't know. We didn't give it that much thought. It was just, you know, kids love rainbows and just all the colors. And I feel like just the way when rainbows come out and the rarity of when you see them and everything that God takes place for you to see them, I think it just really was a good symbol of just inner strength and just with children with disabilities and just having to do things their own way, having to navigate things their own way, things that might come easy for most. Sometimes it takes them a little longer. Sometimes it takes them just a little more, endurance and just thought process. But they get there. They'll get there. Sometimes they require assistance. Sometimes they just require patience and grace from others and from themselves to be able to do what they're trying to do.
And tell me about the bracelets, because you also, your family, your daughter was making bracelets, right?
Yes. She started making some bracelets. That was kind of her. She was making making bracelets for Rain and making bracelets for her, just a symbolism for the rainbow power. Cause we said that her rainbow arm, once we decided to call her arm, her rainbow arm, and say, we started using, use your rainbow power whenever she was struggling with different obstacles or different challenges. We always reference rainbow power. And so my daughter came with the idea, just let's make these rainbow bracelets, just a kind of reminder of rainbow power and just that symbolism behind that. So it was just this extra encouragement for Rain. And she started referencing that. Just to kind of really push her, because as she got older and got more mobile and was talking more, you know, sometimes she was just, oh, I can't do it, or it doesn't work, or no, I need help, and just different things. And we would push her. So something she wasn't able to do last week, now she's able to do, because we just kept pushing her and kept encouraging her and kept affirming her that she can. Maybe you got to try it a little differently. Sometimes she has to use her left arm to assist her right arm. And you know, it just, again, it just takes a little time, some time. But that was just something my daughter kind of came up with to really push that, let her know she had the strength to do it.
How has the book changed your family, for all members of your family? How has, like, you know, them seeing themselves in an illustration, and then even as a family, how has this impacted you guys?
Oh, yeah, the children love it. They love the idea of them being in a book and their baby sister, and they love talking about their baby sister. I know they tell all their teachers, everyone they come across, and even Rain, when she gets the book, she's like, this is my book. This is my book. I'm in this book. And she, like, whenever she sees the book, she picks it up and starts, like she's reading it and turning it. Reminds you, she's two. She's like turning the page, like, Rain did this, and Rain went here, Rain went. But it's just, it's so just, I just love to see it. It's so just heartwarming and encouraging just to see how confident she is now. And I think it was a huge confident booster. It was a huge conversation starter. You know, now my children are talking about it more and talking about their baby sister and what their baby sister is going through. And that was the whole point of it. Not only was it therapeutic for me to be able to write down kind of what she's experiencing and what she's going through, but it was a learning tool for my children as well. And now they're using it as a learning tool for other children and other adults. They're telling other adults about these trials and challenges that their baby sister face and how they overcome it. And they're referencing it for themselves as well. Like, oh, they even say rainbow power. They don't use the rainbow arm because they say only Rain has the rainbow arm, but they do reference rainbow power whenever something is tough or something is even, I think I heard my son using it when he couldn't find matching socks. He's like, oh, I got to use my rainbow power.
That's adorable.
It's become like a household name almost, and a household kind of, I don't know. It really just drove up, like, again, confidence, reassurance, conversation starter, motivation, and just the faith level, just the overall faith in my household, just knowing that we can overcome anything, and just the unity, you know, it's just another something that just kind of brought us all together. Cause whenever I got the proofs, when I was working with my illustrator, and I would give, Vanessa would send me the different illustrations. I would show my children, like, did you like this one? Should we change anything? And they're like, maybe the shirt should be this color. They should go here. And so they all had an input throughout this 6 to 9 month period. What, going through the illustrations, modifying, editing. And then when I would order the proofs, and it would go through the proofs, and just to get all the way to the final copy. So they saw every phase of this, and to see that final product, they're just like, oh wow, like, just so they got to see that whole I don't know the impact of that yet, but we'll just, from them to see that idea come into fruition, and now they have this instrument, and now people are talking about it, and they get to talk about it. I don't even know how to verbalize the impact of that just yet, but I can just see from their eyes and how they're lighting up and how they're talking about it, just the gift this was for our family.
And I mean, it's very empowering and inspirational. And now not every family can, you know, write a book. I mean, what advice would you give families who are maybe struggling to be advocates for their children who have disabilities?
That are struggling to be advocates? I guess I could just go back to my advice earlier, just knowing it's going to be okay. Like, it's knowing it's going to be okay. Knowing that slow progress is still progress. So just the little milestones, the little baby steps is fine. Long as they're still, you know, setting those goals and pushing towards something, just asking for help. You don't have to do it all on your own. Like, I could have never accomplish what we've accomplished. For Rain to go from less than 10% mobility to be at like 70% mobility of her right arm right now, I couldn't have done that on my own. It's because of her care team, her support team. She has occupational therapists, she has physical therapists, she's in therapy 2 to 3 times a week. She goes to play groups. Her playgroups we go to the treehouse. There's a treehouse in Bedford, and they have other children with disabilities, and they kind of work together and they target different areas that's challenges for them. The Cuyahoga Board of Developmental Disabilities sends a therapist to the house. So I don't even have to like drive anywhere or arrange someone to drive her anywhere. The therapist comes to the house and works with her, writing her. And actually she warmed up a lot quicker, because when you're going to a facility, it takes them a minute to kind of get warmed up and be in a new place. But they actually send a therapy to her home. They come in and just play with her. And, you know, they work on different things and set different goals. And again, the grants I got, as well for the different activities, all of that just helps. So it doesn't require a lot to be an advocate. Sometimes it's just making a phone call, signing the paperwork, and, getting them, you know, just scheduling. Either they're coming to the house or you're taking them somewhere. Some of these, like the play groups, I just drop her off for an hour. They let her play for an hour and go back and pick her up. Some of the therapies, I do have to go to facilities. Some, they come to the house. There's just so many different ways you can get assistance that makes advocating easy. And you know, cause I'm working too. I work, I have other children. So it's like, how I'm about to do all this, how I'm about to fit it all in and get all this done. That's where that, not only having that care team in place, but having that support as well, you know, to have somebody else, you know, pick them up or drop them off or, finding places that they can go to where it incorporates all the children. So that they all can go, like, we were taking her to the little gym. They have play groups for all ages. So finding ways, oh, now we can take them all to the little gym. And, everything doesn't, you don't have to, just figure out what works, like in what seasons too, just as long as you're doing something. I feel like as long as she's doing something every week that's working towards her goals of improving her overall mobility, then that's fine. I won. One is mine. She only did two therapies this week and one play group, but we went for a walk or we went to the playground or she did some type of activity to help with her overall development. But it's not all on me. I don't always have to make sure I'm make sure she's this or climb this or that. I can't remember all that. So I lean on the experts to do that. Like, I'm just going, so it's easier for me to just take her somewhere and let them work with her. But if you figure out the workouts to do at home and you just have the center therapy at home, just figure out what works for your household, just making sure they do something every week to kind of work towards that goals, but you know, within your bandwidth. So for me, I'm a delegator. I rather, hey, here you go. You work on that. Let me know how it goes and come back and get her, or, you know, do the mommy and me classes. We did so many mommy and me classes, but those are quick, like 45 minutes. Like, I just jump in there a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and just get it done. Like, oh, okay, I should check that off for the week. So, or just having, you know, grandparents or aunts, uncles, whoever, just, hey, can you come take them for a walk? Come take them to the playground if you're just not feeling good that week. But that's our activity. That's, you know, just kind of pushing there. Advocating can be very easy. I think we can just get overwhelmed of the initial process of advocating, like all the paperwork and phone calls, but it's heavy at the beginning. Once it's done, then it's done. And she's set to get those therapy sessions for 6 months or even to a year. So you do your review, do it all over again, or she's set in those play groups and covered for the rest of the year. So just do the paperwork, make that call, and then, just lean on others. You don't have to do it on your own. Lean on your care team. Lean on your support team. Find ways to incorporate all your children. If you have multiple children, find ways to fit it into your schedule. You know, talk to your, if you're working, talk to whoever you report to let them know, hey, my child is disabled. I have to do these therapy sessions. What works best? What days can I leave a little early? And just, it becomes automatic to the point they're like, hey, don't you got to take your kid to therapy? It just becomes part of your lifestyle. It doesn't feel like advocating anymore for me. I just feel like this is just what we do. This is what we've been doing. This is just what has to get done. So, you know, when I say 2 to 3 times a week, people are like, wait, how are you doing it? How are you fitting in? We made the schedule. It's the schedule. And we kind of work with it. Like therapists, they, once they put you on there, you're kind of in there. Like, you get your spot and that's your spot. So It just, we make it work. Again, using all those different channels and different avenues.
Does those supports help you get through any setbacks that you guys might have had?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the biggest setbacks, again, was just the financial setbacks. When you're talking extracurricular activities, for swimming, gymnastics, you know, all these different, even the playgroups, different things like that. Those things cost. You're paying per session. So they helped us find the grant funding that she qualified for. To, they give you an allowance every year to cover extracurricular recreational activities, camps, different things of that nature. They even helped us find a coverage. So the I don't know if I can, should I be giving out specific names of programs? I just say reach out to the Cuyahoga Board of Developmental Disabilities, but there is grants that can cover extracurricular activities, recreational activities, camps, things of that nature. There's also grants to help cover equipment. So I end up just getting, we end up getting rid of our whole dining room table. We don't have any dining room table in our dining room. We end up putting a gym set. We have a little gym set in our dining room. And they help cover that, the gym set and the mats to go under the gym, so that during the wintertime, we can't go to the playground in the wintertime. It's snow and it's cold. So I'm like, I need her to still be, you know, again, doing those weekly activities that's helping her progress. So now she just goes in her dining room and just climbs on her little gym set in there. And then we were running into the issues when we were running out of therapy sessions through our medical coverage. So once we hit like 10 sessions a year, they don't cover any more therapies, which she ran through that in a month and a half. So they helped us find medical coverage. There's a medical coverage specifically for people with handicaps. It was BCMH, but now it's CMH, and it helps cover anything that the insurance don't cover. But it's a long process to get approved. You have to work with like a public nurse, and it took 6 months to get the coverage. But now I don't have to worry about her running out of coverage again. I have to worry about her running out of sessions again. You have to get approved and all that, but I don't have to worry about her running out of sessions again. And there's so many things, but that was the biggest thing I'm gonna say is the financial. So again, those, and then they send the therapies to the house. So even when we are running out of, when we ran out of sessions through our medical coverage, they sent a therapist to the house, and that was covered by the county. So she was still getting her therapies, even though we couldn't take her to the a medical facility for therapies. So that was the biggest, was the financial. The second was the just transportation, getting her to all these activities. So again, having a therapist come to the house helped. Just working with family members to work, to arrange pickups and drop-offs, setting it up so that I was taking all my children to activities all at one time. So it was not about getting them here, getting this kid here, taking this kid there. So I would say that was the biggest one. Number two was the transportation that I got the assistance with. And number three was just my own just mental health and just being there for my child. So like we mentioned, self-care, just making sure I tend to me first. You know, you always have the saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. You really can't. Like, you can try, but your body will tell you quickly that that's not a good idea. So making sure that I took the time for me, again, with prayer, with therapy, just to make sure that I'm whole and I'm able to be there and be present as a whole person, woman, wife, mom, so that I could be the support and continue to advocate like I can for her. And for me, that's getting my nails done, just making sure I get dressed and look decent for the day. I like, you know, when I do my hair and do my makeup, look good for the day, I'm like, okay, now I can take up the, I look presentable, now I can take on the world, right? You know, I'm not thinking about getting rain here or getting this child here if I don't even, you know, feel like even leaving the house. So, you know, just making sure I have time for me where I could just be me, just be Tasha, hanging out with my friends and doing things for me. Like for me to have taken her to 2 to 3 therapies, taking my oldest to, what's she doing now? They're doing so much. Taekwondo, soccer. She was doing dance. Now she's doing taekwondo. My son's doing soccer and taekwondo, to be do all those things. And then what did I do for me this week? So making sure I take that time to make sure I, again, address my needs as well, to make sure I can show up for them. I have to show up for myself first to be able to show up for them as well.
And just some final questions. So in this book, like, what do you want people to take away about, you know, learning about people who have limb differences? So what do you want people to take away from this book when they're reading, and to really understand, you know, what Rain kind of goes through?
Yeah, so the book doesn't directly say that she has a limb difference. It's kind of like the messaging is there, but I didn't want to highlight that because, like I mentioned earlier, people with limb differences, like, so Rain, you know, even though she's made all this progress in mobility, you know, something is off. Her arm, her right arm is shorter than her left arm. The hand is a lot smaller than the other arm. So people, especially now she's older and getting around, people notice it. So it's noticeable, even though I don't like directly outright say it. So I just, what I want people to take away from this book is, even when they see people with limb differences, or when they just see people that are struggling just to do certain things, just be encouraging. Or even if they are the ones that are struggling, just to be encouraging, just to, again, show that grace and just allow people to do things their own way. I think especially children can be kind of cruel when they see children doing things a little odd, or what they see deem as odd or a little different from others. Like, even when she was like climbing the ladder at the playground, she would like lift her left arm and then go and, you know, to get her foot up and then use her left arm to lift her right arm. And I remember a kid like, why is she doing that? Or even other parents. I remember when I was at a Mommy and Me class, and Rain was, I was, you know, I have to tell her sometimes, I have to remind her, use your rainbow arm. And I remember a mom saying, well, maybe she's just left-handed or something like that. You know, so sometimes people just comment on things or things that they seem peculiar or seem odd. And, but it's like, just, I don't know. It's just, be more encouraging, be more motivating, be more assistance. I think we're all kind of inquisitive, especially when seeing things seem off. We kind of tend just to want to ask questions, but don't treat them any differently. Like, if they're playing or just different, again, doing things in their own way, just letting them do those things, letting them take those different routes, and just being more supportive, more encouraging, more motivating when they see those limb differences, or just notice any type of differences. You know, we're still all people at the end of the day. They're still children at the end of the day. They just want to have fun, just want to play, just want to have a good time. So just let them be children. Like, just let them play, let them do that without making them feel, I mean, they know they have a limb difference. Like, for you calling it out, it achieves nothing. Like, I don't know. I've seen, and she's only two. So the amount of stuff I've seen of her so far, I can only imagine what can come later. But right now we just stay positive. Kindness is free. It's so free. Just give it. Just stay positive. Even if you're not sure, you see something is off. Because even like now that summer is coming, I know last summer, the biggest challenge for her, she has like all these scars from all her surgeries. So she has incisions and scars. But like, oh, well, you know, what happened there? Oh, what is going on there? What is, you know, so it's just, I don't know. I'm still early in this initial journey to advise on the proper words to say. All I can say is be kind. If you don't know, it doesn't hurt to ask, but just be mindful that children can hear. So try not to make it so that they feel ashamed. Because I've already witnessed that just feeling ashamed when people are making comments or just not being kind. So I don't know. I don't know how else to paint that. Just be kind, be encouraging, be motivating. Understand that they're children, and it's okay to be different. We're all different. We're all different in some type of way. So just accept it. Let them play. Let them be happy.
Well, and probably, I mean, this was the most important reason why probably this book was written.
Yes.
You know, your message about how, you know, kind of everyone has a unique way of doing things. You know, this is an important message from that book. And just to kind of wrap up a little, you know, your rainbow power, you know, making sure that people has that where, you know, it says, I am strong, I am brave, I am patient with myself, I can try again, I can rest when I need to, I can do things my own way. My body is learning, my heart is confident, my journey is special, I'm proud of myself. Can you talk a little bit about this and how powerful this can be? You even offer to repeat it as many times you need to, and I feel this could really go for everybody, honestly, but... You know, tell me about how powerful this is and how this came about.
Yes, no, it is. It goes for everybody. As I was speaking with affirmation, we have so much power in what we say and how we say things. So whenever any of my children, disabilities or not, are experiencing just a challenge, just trying to overcome something, just the power of affirmations, the power of just saying you can do it, you are strong, just giving yourself a grace, and just keep repeating that and keep repeating instead of all that negative talk and that self-doubt and just that immediate like quit spirit. I don't like that quit spirit and that give up, like nope, I can't do it, I'm like, that's it, like no, you can't, let's work through it, you are strong, you are brave, let's work through this, let's take it slower. I think in today's society, we're always just quick. Always got to get there. So we don't give children the time and sometimes the space to just really self-reflect and just affirm and just push yourself to do stuff. You know, when it comes to simple tasks, it's putting your coat on. That's challenging for Rain, but if we're always on the go and got to rush out the door, you know, we're always doing that for her. It doesn't give her the time to just, okay, I can do this. I am strong. I can, you know, and just make those little small steps every day to just trying a little harder, going a little further. The power, again, of the, we all have that rainbow power. We all have that rainbow power to say, we can do it. I can do it. I can push. I can advocate for myself. I can ask for help. I can take a break. I can make that call. I can be that support for them. I can give them space to grow. I am capable. I can, you know, even if my progress look a little different from their progress, as long as I'm making progress, then that's good. But yeah, it's so much power and just positivity and just training your mind, even when your body isn't there yet. You have to get your mind there first. So even when her arm wasn't at full mobility yet, I had to get her mind there. I had to let her know she can do it. It doesn't feel like it yet, because at the beginning it was painful. It was really painful for her to move her arm. And then after that, it required so much. It was just easier for her to use her other arm. So I had to mentally prepare her first before all the therapies or surgeries or interventions can even work. I had to let her know you can do it. Because, you know, even if they did all the nerve transfers and tendon transfers and did all these things, but if she just chooses not to move it, it just won't move. So I had to mentally prepare her and encourage her and motivate her and empower her and instill that confidence in her to know she can do it and she will do it if she wants to. So let's just get there. Let's get there. Because you can hand people, I mean, you can hand everybody, what they say, it's so many sayings, but you can hand someone all the tools, all the recipes, all the blueprints in the world. It's not going to get them to the finish line. They have to have that desire and that will to get there. And that starts with the mind. That starts with the mentality. And so that's what the rainbow power is about. Just preparing her even before she could walk, even before she could talk, preparing her mentally. You're strong, you're beautiful, you're confident, you can do this. So that when she actually did have the tools or did have the, you know, started building the strength, started building the actual physical power, she was already willing. Like she was already mentally steps ahead of that.
Well, we really appreciate your time today. And again, this book, Rain Climbs Up, by Tasha Wilburn. Tasha, can you give us a little bit of where people can go ahead and find your book?
Yes, Rain Climbs Up is available on Amazon. You can just type it into Amazon, Rain Climbs Up, or you can type in Tasha L. Wilburn, and it will come up, and you can purchase it there. It is already available for purchase, and it works even if you don't have children. It's a great gift, a great gift to someone who does have children. I know someone messaged me a few weeks ago. They're like, I don't have any small children, but I got some and pass them out to some kids at church, and they enjoyed it. So it's a great gift. It's a great tool if you do have children, and it's especially a great tool if you do have children with disabilities. It doesn't hurt to have that additional encouragement, that different additional, that visual, tangible, something in print to say, oh, I can do it. Just that little reminder, that they can do it just in their own way.
And I think everyone needs some rainbow power. So I think this is a great book for, you know, moms and parents who are looking for a little encouragement, and also helping everyone understand that people, you know, everyone does things differently, so in their own unique way. So I think it's important. And Northeast Ohio Parent will be giving away this book. So, you know, please look for our link for more details on that. But I'm really excited. And thank you so much, Tasha, for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing great things. And, you know, we're very happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Again, I appreciate this time. And Rain Climbs Up, again, has been such a blessing for my family. Such just so empowering, so encouraging. So I'm just full of gratitude that it can make that same impact and be that same light in other households as well. So please share the warmth, share the positivity, share the kindness, and continue to climb.
Well, this is Angela Gartner, host at Northeast Ohio Parent Talk, and thank you for listening.